Great to have you with us here on the Ideas Network. Larry Mueller here, and today we're going to start the show by taking a look at the work of the Natural Resources Foundation. Great to have a couple of guests with me in the studio today, John Kraniak and Lauren Koshier. John is a membership director of the Natural Resources Foundation. And John, good to see you. Thanks for joining us.
Larry, thank you so much for having us today. We really appreciate the opportunity to tell people about the work of the foundation.
Well, I'll tell you what, it was great to have you here. Lauren Koshier, the other member of the duo, she's a membership philanthropy officer. Lauren, welcome.
Thanks, Larry.
So as you listen to these two talk about the foundation, think about what you might want to ask them. Has the foundation's conservation efforts affected your area of the state? What do you want to know about the organization? Have you been involved in any of their field trips? Those field trips are a lot of fun. You can join in at 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234, or email us at ideas@wpr.org. Love to hear from you. Laura, let's start with you. What's the mission of the Natural Resources Foundation?
So our mission is to connect generations to the wonders of Wisconsin's lands, waters, and wildlife. We do that through conservation work, through education, through engagement and giving. And the root of all of our work is one belief, which is that nature has inherent value and people can make a difference.
Yeah. And getting out and experiencing it.
That's right. There's nothing like an experience in the real physical world to connect us to where we are, to connect us to the people we're with, and to connect us to this wonderful state.
John, do you know that it started in 1986, wasn't it?
That it did start with some visionaries who felt that funding for, and I want to emphasize this, public natural resources was threatened. And so as a spinoff from the Department of Natural Resources, the foundation was started as an independent nonprofit organization. And we're very grateful to those founding members and board members who started the foundation way back in the 80s. We celebrated our 30th anniversary a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
And we've been going great guns. The membership is growing. It's actually now over 5,000, which is fantastic that individuals are willing to step forward and support the mission that Lauren just mentioned.
You know, you mentioned the DNR, and I think there's been, I'm sure you get confused sometimes with the DNR.
We do.
Yeah, and I think you still are connected in some way, are you not?
Well, we certainly support their programs, some of which, unfortunately, are underfunded, and so we serve as a backstop, especially for some of the public areas, state natural areas, other public natural resources. We really fill in with grants and support to advance the mission of both the foundation and the department.
That's right. Just about half of the grants that the Natural Resources Foundation made last year went to nature centers, schools, and grassroots conservation organizations around the state. And about the other half went to public lands work that is being done by the DNR. So we help support those projects with funding, but we're also supporting a network of other grassroots organizations around the state.
So the grants, where does the money come from for the grants? Well, all kinds of places, I'll bet, John.
Membership support, that is fantastic. And you know, we're a very grassroots organization. You can become a member for as little as $25. And, of course, you can go way up the scale. Some people are in a position to give us a lot more than that. And now I almost sound like I'm on a pledge drive here, but I'm not. So it's membership support. You know, independent donors come forward. We do get some grants, and we have a very talented grant writing staff. But I think membership support is very, very important for the organization.
Lauren, you mentioned sort of a broad of listing of kinds of grants you give, but could you give us an example of a maybe in a little more detail of a specific grant, maybe one you kind of like?
Sure. Well, I can tell you an example from my home area of Western Wisconsin. I went to high school in River Falls, and the local Trout Unlimited chapter there is doing some wonderful work restoring streams in Western Wisconsin, some of the premier trout streams of our state. And they also have this wonderful program called Trout in the Classroom, where they bring trout into classrooms in elementary mm-hmm. schools, and the kids get to learn about ecology of streams and the biology of trout, and then get to grow and raise trout, and then they're used for release. So that's an example of a program that the foundation funded through one of our C.D. Bezadny conservation grants last year.
Bezadny.
That's Buzz. Right.
Yeah, one of the great guys who was the head of the Department of Natural Resources for a good long time.
He was, and the small grant program is named in his honor, and there is actually, we haven't gotten into this yet, but we have endowments, and similar to what the university here has, that individuals can set up an endowment, and there is an endowment in honor of Buzz. There is a wide variety of endowments that people have established over the years, and I like to give the example of Benjamin Franklin, and he seeded an endowment way back in the 1780s or 90s. I'm not quite sure. It was before he passed, and that endowment paid out for a couple of hundred years. So wow. It's amazing what an endowment can do.
Wow, that is amazing. And the projects, I'm sitting here thinking, there may be somebody listening in right now and saying, grant money. I wonder how you get involved, or what kinds of areas could I, might I be able to hook into for a grant?
Absolutely. So our grants typically support three major areas: public lands, and that can include restoration projects, management, habitat work. Lands need management, as any homeowner or landowner knows.
Yeah.
In addition to that, we support funds for wildlife restoration. Rare and endangered species are something that we have cared about since the beginning, and many of our grants go to support things like Kirtland's warblers recovery, bats. We have a fund for pollinators as well. So we really care for those species in greatest need. And then we also support environmental education. So that example that I mentioned earlier ties to that. Of course, we want to ensure the next generation of kids and families are able to get out and connect and learn.
So you actually, when you were a young sprout, you were actually involved, well, a young Gersby, you're pretty young now, but when you were a lot younger, you were actually exposed to one of the field trips, were you not?
That is correct. Before I really understood much about the foundation at all, I had the chance to experience one of our very fine trips, and I had the chance to paddle on the St. Louis River, which is, of course, between Superior and Duluth, and my dad was actually the leader of that trip for many years. He is now retired, but he worked for the Wisconsin DNR, and that's an example of, our trip leaders are experts in their field. They're not all employees of the DNR, but they're many of them are educators or passionate for the topic for one reason or another. And he had a lot of knowledge about that part of the state and led a great trip kayaking on the river. So I think my first time on that trip was probably when I was 15.
Frank.
That's right.
Yeah.
Hi, Dad.
He's probably listening in right now. Good on you, Frank. Thank you for raising a good daughter.
Shout out to Frank. So maybe I'll act like a politician briefly here and do a pivot. That I want to make sure that we don't forget about the Great Wisconsin Birdathon, which is coming up in April. And that is an opportunity for personal involvement. People can set up teams. I actually personally had a team for a few years, and, it didn't take that much because I live in a fortunate place across from the Arboretum. Mm-hmm. So we did a sit in my front yard and my backyard, And
Have to go anywhere.
I didn't have to go anywhere, which is the beauty of it. And I had a friend who was an expert birder that when we began, she said, oh, we'll be lucky if we see 20 species this morning, John. And after about an hour, when we got up to 50, I said, shall we go for more?
Well, you know, it does bring this birdathon, you know, explain sort of the procedures behind it and how it works.
It's the idea is to get teams, and you can Google the Great Wisconsin Birdathon to find out more. But you can set up a team with, you know, yourself or your friends. And the whole idea is that you, like a walkathon, that you solicit pledges from people, and then those go to support all the wonderful bird habitat and other bird-related projects that we have going around the state. And my understanding is that our Great Wisconsin Birdathon, in terms of dollars raised, is the fourth nationally, which is great. It hasn't been going that long. It's a lot of fun. You get out, you get to see birds, you get to hear birds, you get to talk about birds.
Well, and birding itself is one of the most popular pastimes, if I'm not mistaken, isn't it?
It is. It is very popular.
Yeah, and I think it's one. I think it's bird watching has got to be up there, like in nationally, it's in the top three or four.
I mean, sure. You know, and you know, it runs the gamut from looking out your back window to, you know, getting really expensive optics and, you know, going out into the middle of the woods and getting up at a ridiculously early hour of the morning, but. There's a lot of ways to do it, but so that's a great way to participate in something that the foundation sponsors is our Great Wisconsin Birdathon.
And when does that take place?
Yeah, so it runs April 15th through June 15th, so spring migration season. And like John was saying, we all know there's a spectrum of engagement and expense that you could choose if you're a birder, but anybody can get involved with Birdathon. That's the beauty of it. Last year, we actually had a kindergarten class get involved. They had a team. They saw 30 birds. They identified 30 species by the end of this. This year, we have a young boy from Madison. He's 10 years old. He has a team called, his name is Wilder, and he has a team, which is really going to challenge my pronunciation ability here. Wilder's Wild Warbler Watchers.
So there you go, a 10-year-old.
That's right. Anybody can do it.
We have one of the fun things about the Birdathon is that we get some rather humorous names. Now, a team that I've been supporting the past couple of years is the Skanda Avians.
Oh, Skanda Avians. On that note, I'm going to remind you, as you're listening to these two characters, Lauren Koshier and John Kraniak, that they are part of the Natural Resources Foundation. Have you been involved in the Birdathon? Do you have a maybe you've been in, we haven't even talked very much about field trips yet. We'll get to that. Maybe you've been involved in some of the field trips. I'd love to hear your reaction to those as well. Give us a call. The number is 1-800-642-1234. You can email us at ideas@wpr.org. Champion birder Jill Nadeau is our producer, I think second in terms of birding. Dave Potratz, he's our engineer. I'm Larry Mueller. You are listening to the Ideas Network. Taking a look at the Natural Resources Foundation. It was founded in 1986, so it's going on 32 years now. A couple of guests for you today, Lauren Koshier and John Kraniak, it's wonderful to have them with us today to talk about what's going on with the foundation. Certainly, if you've been a part of the foundation or maybe involved in the grants, maybe you've been involved in some of the field trips. We want to get into those field trips coming up because today's a big day for sign up for those field trips. So we'll be talking about that with them as well. But you can join in at 1-800-642-1234. Email us at ideas@wpr.org. We do have a link, Jill lets me know, to the Birdathon on our program notes on wpr.org/Larry. So that's another place to look to get some more information about the Birdathon. Let's talk about these field trips. So the foundation, one of the great things that you guys do is just a whole host of field trips. John, you want to start?
They are fantastic. And I want to tie it into something we talked about earlier, is that we partner with other like-minded organizations, if you will. And one that I've been very fond of, I had a chance to actually solicit and make this trip happen about 10 years ago, is a great nonprofit in the south side of Milwaukee called the 16th Street Community Health Center. They have a holistic view of health, so they have an environmental department, and they are situated on the south side of Milwaukee, which has its challenges with poverty and other issues,
yeah.
And flooding. They have a lot of flooding issues there, and 16th Street has worked with the Milwaukee Metropolitan Sewerage District and other partners to work on abating that problem, and mm-hmm. also to involve the neighborhood in the whole process, which is fantastic. So 16th Street Community Health Center is a recipient of BZADNY grants in the past, and they also have provided field trip leaders to have people walk the area where they're doing this abatement and see the other issues with water resources, and particularly, as I'll pronounce it the Milwaukee way, the Kinnickinnick River.
Ah, so and you yourself are involved in sort of the urban environment aspects, are you not then, John, of the Natural Resources Foundation?
Well, I am. I grew up in the city of Milwaukee, so I come by it naturally, and we partner with there's another great organization there called the Harbor District, which is actually was kind of spun off from a group that was restoring the Menominee Valley, in which a big industrial area just to the south of the main downtown in Milwaukee that fortunately, a lot of restoration work has been done in that area, and we've had field trips in that area, too, along the Hank Aaron State Trail, which is a great biking trail. We're also involved in the Lakeshore State Park, which is actually man-made state park,
yeah.
But it's fantastic.
Yeah.
You'd be surprised the variety of flora and fauna they have there. So these are the things that I get enthusiastic about. Of course, you know, you can go way up north and west and east, and there are fantastic trips everywhere.
Yeah, and we'll talk some more about them. But I want to take a call. Angela in Birchwood, we'll give you a chance to join in. Hi, Angela. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Hi, thank you. Just a quick question. My husband and I are big supporters of your efforts. We just think you guys do such wonderful work. My question is, I'm not familiar with what your bat-focused efforts are when you talked about different areas that your funding resources go towards. So if you could elaborate that a little bit, that would be great.
All right. Thanks, Angela. Appreciate it.
Well, Angela, thank you very much. That's a great question. I know that we have provided help to DNR for bat monitoring equipment, which is extremely expensive, and we've had some wonderful donors step forward to personally donate to support those efforts as well. So that's a lot of it. Obviously, anything to do with a reduction of the terrible white nose syndrome that's affecting our bat populations. We also provide funding to address that as well. Lauren, do you have anything to add to that?
Yeah. Earlier, John mentioned the conservation endowment that the foundation
yeah.
holds, and we have more than 94 funds there that individuals and organizations have set up for conservation funding in Wisconsin. And one of those is the Wisconsin Bat Conservation Fund. We receive wonderful contributions from members every year to grow that fund and to continue to make sure that we're able to make grants towards bat conservation. We also have a number of field trips where people can learn more about bat conservation and connect more personally and individually with the experts who are doing that work.
Yeah, I'm starting to remember Judith Sears-Poisson, who is one of our producers here, has been often a participant in the bat conservation tours and things that you've put together. So it's Judith, if you're listening, I got your name in today.
I should say hi to Judith, too. I know her from previous work.
Well, let's talk about some more. And Lauren, maybe you can talk some more about the field trips and give us a broad perspective of what's out there.
Sure. So this year we have 234 field trips around the state. Now, all of our trips in Wisconsin here are day trips. So they range, you know, from a couple hours to all day. And there's really something for everybody. Every age range, every ability range, we like to make sure that there's a chance for anyone to plug in. We have more than 60 family-friendly trips this year. We have trips that are quite rigorous, you know, hiking, biking, paddling. We have trips that are considerably more leisurely or, you know, still. And some of the examples are, you know, summer hiking, biking. We have paddling trips. We have trips to identify plants and flowers, bird watching trips, trips that where you can get up close with some of those rare and endangered species that the foundation helps support, including Kirtland's warblers. We have trips looking for freshwater mussels. We have trips through the state, many, many state natural areas around the state. So there's really a new way to find something interesting and something new to love in Wisconsin for anybody who's interested.
You know, one of the fun ones that I was on was it was in the fall with the fall migration, and we were over on the Mississippi River to see the swans, and it was an amazing trip. And there was somebody, you know, we had an expert along with us, and you know, you wanted to have binoculars, which we all had, and cameras, because there were a lot of photo opportunities and a lot of just the one thing I liked, one of the things I liked almost most about it was the group of people that you were with. I met some really nice folks. I had a chance to talk to a lot of different people, and it was really, that part of it was a third of the fun, at least, of being on a trip. Has that been your experience?
Yeah, absolutely. Because, you know, there's nothing like a shared experience to build camaraderie with a group of people. You know, you start as strangers and you end a trip with a shared experience that's usually very fun and positive, and you've learned some things together, you've learned about each other, and that's really at the heart of our mission. You know, we care about the natural features in Wisconsin, but we care about connecting people to them and connecting people to each other over their love of those places. So I think that's where the field trips really shine. And, you know, there's never been one that I leave not feeling just really energized
yeah,
and
don't
excited.
You feel good about it?
Yeah, and just so hopeful. Wow. You know, there are so many other people around the state, around the region, who care about our natural resources and who are invested, you know, in all sorts of ways as members of the foundation. But so many of our members are also volunteers in their local community. They're building bluebird houses for their mm-hmm. school districts. They're volunteering as master naturalists or teaching at the local nature center. And so it's just a great reminder of all the good work being done by committed citizens around our state.
Love to hear from your experiences as you listen in. Have you been involved in one of those field trips? What was your experience like? Give us a call at 1-800-642-1234 or email us at ideas@wpr.org. And John, you wanted to add something.
I did. You mentioned migrations, and we actually have a monarch migration stopover trip, and that is down in Wauwatosa. There's a monarch trail in the county grounds, and a wonderful volunteer who also runs a natural flowers flower shop in Wauwatosa leads that trip. She's fantastic.
So what do you do in that? You just describe what happens.
Well, you walk the county grounds, and you see the various plantings that they have and learn about and see the monarchs. And maybe this is where I get to make an appeal to everybody to plant milkweed, which is very important. But we also have a new fund that I think Lauren might provide a little more information on that. Again, a donor has established a fund to support monarchs, and they're in a tremendous decline because of loss of habitat.
Yeah, Lauren?
That's right. We have, we're happy to be a founding member. The foundation was a founding member of the Wisconsin Monarch Collaborative, founded in 2018. And that's a statewide group focused to conserve the monarch butterfly. We have a number of members who care very deeply about this, including one anonymous member who is making a lot of monarch conservation work possible through a gift through the foundation. If you want to learn more about that good work, you can go to wimonarchs.org.
wimonarchs.org?
That's right.
.org. Okay,
thanks.
There we go. Well, Steve in Ladysmith has something for us. Let's go there. Hi, Steve.
Hi, Larry and guests. Just wondering about the Natural Resources Magazine. I haven't heard, or maybe I missed it, if it's being funded again, if it's going to be more editions or whatever. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks, Steve.
Steve, thank you very much for that question. I'm a fan of that publication. I actually, way back in the day when I was a child, which was a long time ago, the old Wisconsin Conservation Bulletin, which is a predecessor, I took that. And I'm glad to see that the magazine is still around. It's a very good question as to what the future of it will be. It was saved about a year and a half ago. There was an upswelling of support for what I think is a great publication. So I am not quite sure. I haven't seen the details of the governor's budget. I suspect there's a much better chance that it'll continue.
Yeah, I would say I have a subscription to it, so I get it, and I love the magazine. So thanks for calling. And, of course, that comes from the Department of Natural Resources, not from the Natural Resources Foundation, but who cares?
Well, actually, Larry, if you make a donation here I go with the pledge drive again. Yeah. If you make the donation at the right level, that is a thank you gift that's available.
Oh, well, there you go. You can join in, too. Number to call 1-800-642-1234. Or you can email us. The email address is ideas@wpr.org. ideas@wpr.org. Love to hear from you. So what trip are you leading this year, Lauren?
Oh, I am excited to talk about that. I'm leading a trip, called Reading and Writing the Edge of Nature. My background is in writing, and I've done a lot of study and practice in the world of environmental literature. So I'm an example of somebody who's leading a trip based on a passion that I have. The focus of the trip is to look at environmental literature that reimagines traditional approaches to nature writing, and participants will have the chance to connect to urban nature in Madison, and then we'll do a bunch of fun writing exercises as well.
Oh, that should be a good time.
I'm looking forward to it.
And that, when is that, by the way?
That'll be Saturday, April 27th here in Madison.
Let's take another call. Tim in Black River Falls. We'll go to you next. Hi, Tim. Or Tom, excuse me. Sorry, Tom.
Hey, all right, no problem. I guess, Mike, I know you're running short on time. My fight against people that use pesticides, is there any way we can wake these people up more? Organizations, I've joined everybody over the years, but, I mean, I love dandelions on green lawn and stuff. These people just got to poison everything, so.
Let's take a look at programs. Maybe you can talk about programs that limit the use of pesticides or that don't use pesticides at all as part of the Natural Resources Foundation.
I know that we had a field trip one time where the field trip leader actually taught people how to make pesto out of various weeds. We would consider weeds anyway. So that's certainly one approach, is to, you know, you get lemons, you make lemonade, essentially. Obviously, the minimal use of pesticides is best for everyone. And if you can use natural methods, that's what I do. I'm a personal gardener. I do a lot of gardening, and I really try to stay away totally from pesticides because I know the problems they cause.
Well, I think a lot of the field trips, Lauren, that you guys do without directly applying that don't use any pesticides, talking about the value of natural systems probably rings true on a lot of your events.
That's right. You know, I can use an example from our work for birds. We talked about the Birdathon. We talked about the Bird Protection Fund the foundation has. Over time, we've granted more than $1 million for bird conservation across Wisconsin. And one of the guiding ideas behind that work is this wonderful quote from a gentleman, Thomas Lovejoy, who is a conservation biologist. And he said, if you take care of birds, you take care of most of the environmental problems in the world. And I think that's where we focus. We focus on helping connect people to what they love. And then downstream of that, we realize there are all sorts of decisions we can make as consumers, as landowners, as homeowners to support and protect those things that we love.
Yeah, I think that's a good point. And I really think you do a lot, frankly, that supports the natural environment through not only your field trips, but through the work that you do, through the grants that you
We support environmental education. That's I don't think we've touched on that yet, but that is certainly an area that we are involved in.
We've gotten some calls, and we haven't put people on, but there were some listeners wondering about contact information for your organization, probably phone number, and your on-site, your website as well.
Yeah, so you can learn more about grants or field trips at our website, wisconservation.org. And our phone number is 608-409-3122.
608-409-3122. And it's Wisconservation?
Yeah.
Make sure I get that right.
Yeah,
that's
so
right.
It's like WIS, like Wisconsin, W-I-S, and the word conservation, wisconservation.org.
.org. And, you know, as long as we're on this, is that the number that people use when they call to sign up for field trips?
Well, field trip registration happens online, and we encourage everyone to go to our website for a great video tutorial made by our colleague, Christine Tanzer. She's our field trip director, has been doing this work for more than 20 years, and just loves our members and loves helping people make sure that they know how to sign up and get the trips that they're interested in. So you can learn more right on the website, watch that video Christine made, and you can actually follow through on your registration through the website. If people have questions, we are available. We have people on the phones today, but as you can imagine, it's a busy day in the office, a lot of excitement.
Well, and it starts at noon, doesn't it? So in like 20 minutes from now, you can sign up. You can try to sign up, but you may not have one of the really nice little magazines that you guys put out, or programs, I guess you could call it.
You can find that online as well. Yep.
Yeah.
At wisconservation.org.
And so what's included in that? Well, it's all of the events, right?
Yeah, it's a full guidebook listing all of the 234 different field trips that we have this year. You'll find information on, we haven't talked about this yet, but some of the field trips are fundraisers themselves. So our trips on some of the bird-related trips, bat trips, they become fundraisers for that conservation topic. And the foundation then regrants those funds out where it's needed.
One thing I want to mention that although a lot of people sign up the very first day, there are many, many, many wonderful trips that do not get fully subscribed initially. And so you sign up next week or the week after, and sometimes when I go on a field trip, and this is deep into July, I'll bring a list of trips that are in the area that still have open spaces. So don't feel bad if you don't sign up right away today. There are plenty of great trips that will still be available.
I want to go on the Loon Pontoon in Forest Lodge. I'm looking at that.
You know, that's a very popular one.
Is it? I would imagine it would be.
You might need to know somebody for that.
I would bet. You know, the nice thing, the one thing I've always enjoyed getting this guidebook every year, it's really lots of great photos and good descriptions. And the costs vary. I don't know. I'm just opening up a page here. $10, $20, $35. Here's one for a Wolf Howl and Forest Lodge tour. That's a little more, $85.
That's very popular too.
And so, you know, for the Wolf Howl, let me just join local naturalists to explore area wolf packs and tour Forest Lodge on Lake Nemecagon. Tour National Forest and examine habitat used by wolves and other wildlife, and conduct an evening howl survey. Sounds pretty good to me.
I would love to get on that one myself.
You know, whoever writes these does a really nice job, because the descriptions are capture your imagination and also give a really good description of what's going on these field trips.
And we'll have to give props to our field trip director, Christine Tanzer, who does such a great job in this booklet and those descriptions.
Is there one in there for caves?
There is. We have a trip going, excuse me, it's trip number 150. It is in July 27th. We have three sessions, and it's called To the Bat Caves at Kickapoo Caverns.
To the Bat Caves at Kickapoo Caverns. You know what? We're going to find out about caves coming up here. So I wanted to mention caves, because our next guest coming up is going to be talking about caves. But these field trips, I really, 234 amazing adventures. And for a small cost, you can go on what might turn out to be the trip of a lifetime for you and your family. So I hope you will. Where do we go again? We go to Wisconsin.
Wisconservation.org,
and you can see the field trips that are available there and learn how to sign up for them. Phone number if you want to call about maybe joining the foundation. What about joining?
Yeah, you can join online, and that might be a good way to do it today. Yeah, I will say our phones will be pretty busy today with field trip registration. So I hate to send people to a queue, you know, and the phone calls. But whatever you can do online at wisconservation.org, we encourage that. But if you need help, we are also there to help you at our phone number as well.
I'm going to mention that you can do it the old school way, too. You can write a check. You can put membership in the memo line and send it to Natural Resources Foundation, Wisconsin, P.O. Box 2317, Madison, Wisconsin 53701. Again, that is Natural Resources Foundation, Wisconsin, P.O. Box 2317, Madison, Wisconsin 53701. Basic membership is $25.
Lauren and John, thank you so much for taking time to be with us today. I appreciate it very much, and look forward to another visit from you. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Larry.
It's been fun. Thanks.
Lauren Koshier and John Kraniak, both, of course, working with the Natural Resources Foundation. A pleasure to have them on. I tell you what, think about grants. There's some grant opportunities. You're going to learn about those at their website. And for sure, think about field trips, because there are a lot of good ones, and you're going to spend a lot of time you can have a lot of fun this summer just going on Natural Resources Foundation of Wisconsin field trips. So do it, including one on caves. And speaking of caves, we're going to talk about caves coming up next on the Ideas Network.